Welcome back to Haunting History Podcast. This is your host, Kat. And for our bonus episode, we decided to bring back Billy, who is the psychic medium who did a reading for Jocelyn and her mom. Once we started this whole thing, Jocelyn had contacted Billy to do a reading and see what he had gotten. So with me today is Haley, of course.
Hi.
And Jocelyn.
Hello.
And Billy, the psychic medium.
Hey, everybody. How are you?
And I am going to have all of Billy's contact information on our episode webpage. If you want to contact Billy for a reading, I'll have all of his contact information for you also. So, Billy, go ahead and tell us about the reading that you did for Jocelyn.
So, yeah, in my history of doing readings, I do have to say this is one of the most unique and also frustrating cases. I'm not typically a psychic investigator of any sorts, but I do seem to get dragged into them here and there. So keep in mind, I'm not an investigator. I am, my word, my reading is not like, this is what happened. It's simply what I was getting from spirit that day. So right off the bat, when I talked to Jocelyn and her mother, before the reading even began, I was like, oh crap. I was getting the vibe of nothing is what it seems to be. All right. So whenever I do a reading and that is the situation, that's the feeling I'm getting. I know that it's going to be long and sorted and I really have to pay attention and listen. So without any of the information from the case, I just had Jocelyn's first name and phone number and that was it. So right off the bat, I could tell that there was somebody that was taken far away from their family, kind of, you know, isolated away from their family by what I was getting as a narcissist. And then, and I asked the family, was there a weakness in the relative? You know, like was there mental health issues or, you know, why was I getting that this victim, this person, this missing person was seen as an easy target? And we kind of went into the whole, well, she had seizures, she had epilepsy. So I was like, okay. So right off the bat, I felt that there was a narcissist taking kind of control of a more, you know, an empath, a white light, a more free-spirited kind of person. So then as the reading went on, I asked, you know, I asked Jocelyn and her mother, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. Was there a family? Did this gentleman have family down, you know, down in California? Did he have a father and brothers or, you know, because I saw a group of men in my mind, you know what I mean? Right off the bat, I had a very uneasy feeling, and I felt like a group of men were guilty of covering something up, right? Something had happened, and they were kind of like shady men who were involved with making sure that their stories were straight. I felt like there were a lot of scripts involved. There were a lot of people having the same exact story, and if you listen to your podcast, and if, you know, you did the investigating, if you didn't notice that all of the guys had the same exact story, like, oh, the good-looking gardener. Oh, the good-looking gardener. Every single person seemed to have had a scripted answer, you know? And right away, I was like, oh, my God, who's this father, you know? I felt like the father was a key factor in the whole, oh, the police investigation was really shoddy. Oh, you know, like there were big holes in the plot, and I know it's from a long time ago, and it's playing a game of phone because there's missing holes in the entire story. And this is an investigation from 40 years ago, so that makes sense. But I feel that the father definitely had a big part in why there were holes missing, why everybody's story seemed the same. So what else about the reading?
How do you get her? Like, how do you feel about her? Like what?
Okay. So, so here's the deal. So it was literally right after I was to the family, like, oh my God, I was like, were there, you know, did he have family down there? Cause I feel a bunch of men and they were like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, and like we're on the right path. Cause literally I envisioned her energy. And all these men kind of like entered the room. Okay. The other weird thing was, and this is right when it happened. I felt like there was some sense of she worked all the time, like she was bringing in the money, you know, like making money. And maybe like, because I asked the family, I said, oh, she worked a lot. Was she, you know, and I went to see, was she in the entertainment industry? Did she do something in the entertainment industry? And both of them, you know, Jocelyn and her mother said, no, she didn't work. He worked. He was a mechanic. And I was like, oh, weird, because I'm getting that she worked a lot, you know? And then all of a sudden, I'm looking at a spirit in my bedroom who looked like Stevie Nicks, and she's kind of like dancing and, you know, she's doing something with her hands. And I'm like, what the hell? So I said to them, you know, like, did she look like Stevie Nicks? Is she a free spirit? Did she do something with her hands? Did she do sign language? Or what am I looking at here? And they're like, she did look like Stevie Nicks, and she was an artist, you know? And I was like, all right, well, that makes sense. Then spirit said to me, you know, her, you know, her, you know, whether it be her spirit or my spirit guides or whomever, you know, like I hear things in my head, I get visions, I get, you know, feelings. But I literally heard, you know, it's not important to know all the details, all right? And the sense of she would make sure that everybody in the room was comfortable and happy before she herself was, you know? And so at that point, with the whole work thing, with the whole she had a job thing, I was kind of shut down by spirit, okay? So that's why, you know, like when I asked them, you know, did she work? And they're like, no. And then, you know, her spirit, that spirit kind of shut me down.
So what does that typically mean to you then if that happens?
What'd you say?
What does that typically mean to you when that happens? Because her work is kind of...
What it means to me is I don't push. You know what I mean? Like, what it means to me is there's things that, you know, spirit doesn't want their family to know. It's happened in tons of readings before, like, especially where how the manner of death or what they thought in their last moment. A lot of the times the families will come up with their like, comforting, healing moments, like... Well, this is probably what she felt when they were passing. You know what I mean?
Right.
And families start to heal. So I don't want to be the asshole who comes along with and be like, well, wait a minute, she felt this when she was dying. You know?
Oh, I get it. So do you think
completely respects what the living feel? You know?
Right.
And so I feel like she was just like this hippy dippy, cool, free spirit surfer girl who made some decisions and got into maybe things that she wasn't necessarily built for, if you will, you know? And I don't know, like, she wouldn't let me push on the work thing, okay? She
because her work push. Is...
So I feel like perhaps she got aligned with the wrong people. I don't know, you know what I mean?
Okay, because her work is a mystery to us. She never talked... Her work, yeah. Her work is definitely a mystery to us because her work... She never mentions in her diary that she works, and the only mention is at the end of the diary... When John says that he was talking to the two ladies who said she was making $60 a night, and he said, I think that's extreme. Like, I think that's an overstatement. And yeah. So for all of us, because we were like, she never mentioned that she was working. So what you're saying is that she may have been doing some kind of work that her parents may not have been proud of.
Right. Like, and I don't want to paint some, you know, person who can no longer speak for themselves. I don't want to be like, oh yeah, she's doing some shady work. But I feel like there's something that she doesn't even want anybody to know. You know what I mean?
And it didn't pertain to her death. So she's like, it doesn't matter.
Right. Like, it's one of those moot points. Like, why the hell should we even know about this? It doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And it's going to affect how people look at her. You know, just kind of change the thought of her being gone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does.
Yeah, so like, and that's why I totally respect that. And there's some psychic mediums who are like, no, I will dig up every fact. And I'm like, no, why? You know, like, if a spirit tells me something, I listen to them, you know?
Yeah, and if it doesn't have anything.
But when you brought it up in your case, it was very, very, like, all my hair stood up. Because I was like, she did work. I knew she worked. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Because
from the first days of reading in the back of my mind, I've been like, she had a job. I know she worked. You know, I wonder what it was. And what, you know,
but she doesn't want you to know what it is.
When you're talking about the Rocco's always watching the kids, like I can envision it and feel it. Like I'm dropping off kids. And I'm going somewhere where, you know, going to work. That's how it always felt to me. Like, she wasn't always surfing and skateboarding. That's how I feel. That's my opinion.
What do you get about the Rocco friendship?
So, okay. The one huge thing I get is that I empathize with them and I'm very compassionate toward their situation. I feel like they weren't really close. I feel like they had, like, you know, they were older than them. So they had, like, maternal and paternal feelings for these people, and they were trying to help out this couple. You know what I mean? They were friends. I feel, and they're living, and I, you know, I'm not going to put any, you know, this is my opinion, is that perhaps they do feel like they are protecting her in some way with keeping what they know, or, you know, not sharing all their stories, you know? Yeah. I feel like they've got a maternal, paternal, like, protection going on about her. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they were family.
They're protecting her memory of some in some way, you know, which I 100% respect. But I do believe, like you said in one of your podcasts, that they could have one story or one word that could change everything. You know, I do believe, and we'll talk about the surfboard thing in a minute, because that's my sign that this actual, you know, thing is that somebody out there has the information, you know, and they don't realize, like, how much they could help in the, you know, figure, get to the bottom of what happened, you know?
So it could be them that have information that could help Jocelyn and her family, but they
absolutely.
They don't realize that they have that. They just think that their information is just, you know, not important,
right.
But it could be really important.
Absolutely. And it's funny because, like, even, like, murders that happened, or, you know, any kind of mystery that happened a week ago, like, from today, you know, like, last week, there's a murder case going on in my neighborhood where they're said, like, were you here on Tuesday, August 8th, blah, 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 you know? People have information. They just doubt their information and they don't want to contact tip lines. They don't want to contact the police because they feel like, I sound like a lunatic. What if I'm wrong, you know? I feel anybody who feels they do have a tip, just call, you know, like, just contact somebody. Any information could be the one thing that changes the entire investigation. Because I will tell you, let's go to the, when Jocelyn read me the report and what John said about dropping her off at the airport.
Yeah.
As she was reading it, every hair in my body stood up. I think I even told Jocelyn her mom, I'm like, my nipples are so hard they could cut glass. My legs were, like, on fire. But the rest of my body felt like it was running cold. Like, my veins, like, felt like they went ice cold. All my hairs were standing up. And it's an absolute 100% lie.
Like, it never happened.
She never went to the airport. I never, like, that's the one thing that Spirit was like, no, 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 this is not true. None of it happened. I don't believe she left the apartment that night, you know? And there's absolutely no airport visit, you know. She and the children never went to the airport that day. I can assure you that and I never say anything I say is 100% real or correct, you know. But I will say 100% I know that she didn't go to the airport that day.
You don't get that she's alive and you don't – how do you feel about the boys, though? Do you think that they could still be alive?
So – I told, and it was really hard doing the reading because even though it's been 40 years, like, I don't know. I mean, Jocelyn's mom did a recording in the last one, and she's, you know, this woman who, you know, a sister went missing 40 years ago. And as humans, we're like, oh, it's 40 years ago, you know. But as a family member, it's 40 years of wondering what the hell happened to my sister, you know.
Right.
It never goes away.
Right.
And you don't ever lose that pain, that, you know, mystery that's always lurking in your family's, you know, parties and whatever. So I had a hard time doing this part of the reading, but I have this friend, and every time I'm doing a reading, not every time, but most times, she'll, like, call me or text me and be like, are you doing a reading soon? I was like, oh, my God, because we're kind of, like, psychically connected, I guess. And she goes, can I ask you, in your reading that you're doing today, are there children involved? And I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, she's like, well, I feel like there's dead children involved.
Ugh.
And I was like, oh, you know what I mean? So, and she's usually pretty confident, you know, connected to me. But when I kind of went over this with Jocelyn and her mother, and, but nothing, you know, nothing's coming through for me at all, really, with the kids. Like, no spirits are coming through. So I don't know, really know what that says, you know? So you can take it any way you want it. But, like, her dead spirit definitely came through because I was like, who is this Stevie Nicks looking girl dancing in my bedroom all of a sudden, you know? And it was definitely a spirit who's crossed over. So I will say with 99%, you know, percent certainty that that was Deb's spirit that came through. As far as the boys, she didn't come through with a message for them, you know? So I always say, in a sense, no news is good news, but I can't be certain on any of that, you know?
Wouldn't she have given you some kind of like message or something for her sons if
that's what I would say, like that's what I would think, you know? But I'm telling you, as far as long as I've been doing this and spirit, there's, you know, I can't guarantee anything comes through. I can't control anything comes through, and sometimes spirit will tell me the most random stuff that does not matter to anything, you know? So like, I would think personally, like I'd be like, yeah, you tell me your kids are alive and I'll hunt them down. You know what I mean? Find them. But that's not really how spirit works. So I can't be certain. You know what I mean?
Right. I should mention too, when you did the reading for Jocelyn and her mom, they didn't even tell you that it was a cold case or it was a missing persons case. They didn't tell you anything.
Right. Yeah. So Jocelyn, and she called me too. And I was like, oh, and I always, so I have the voicemail too, where it's like, hi, my name is Jocelyn. This is my phone number. I was wondering if you'd be interested in doing a reading for us. It's kind of, she said, it's kind of like a cold case thing in our family. And I was like, oh, maybe they lost their golden retriever last week. Because most of the time, it's something really random when people call like that. So Jocelyn, just so you know, this isn't kind of a cold case. This is a huge cold case. What'd you say?
She was nervous.
She was nervous to give up too much information.
Yes, I have a huge thing about it. I said, don't tell me anything. Because she said kind of a cold case. And then when I texted her back like that day. And I was like, okay, do not, you know, like I'll do a reading for you, but do not tell me anything more. She's like, okay. So I literally had her name and her number, which is how I do my reading. I don't want anybody to give me any information. That's why I was hesitant to listen to podcasts because I was like, well, give me a couple weeks, you know, like I want everything I can get from spirit before I start flooding it with human ego. You know what I mean? Like stories and facts and, you know, reports.
Now that
I always like the most authentic, raw, you know, information I can get from the spirit side. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Now that you've listened to the podcast though, did it change anything about your reading or? I mean, it confirms some things.
Well, it added the human element because I'm a total empath. I'm a total, like, I am a huge crybaby. I'm a huge, like, when it's humans involved. So it changed a lot. Definitely one of the things that my, it gave a lot more human component to the reading. Okay. So for instance, the men. The crowd of men that I saw that kind of went around her energy with stories and with, you know, changing, you know, these scripts and changing information and making sure everybody had, you know, had their story straight. I feel like, and I'll say this and I hope I'm not trying to desecrate anybody's memories of anybody or anybody's reputation, but I do feel like John's father had a lot to do with whatever happened. I feel like the boys, you know, just kind of, you know, John kind of went along with what his father's, you know, directed him to. Okay. Because in the reading, I was like, I do not like, even after the reading, I was talking to you guys, we had a couple phone conversations. I don't like the father's energy at all. I feel like he was a manipulator. I feel like he was very harsh. And I feel like he definitely ruled with an iron fist, you know, and yeah. People listened when he did. This whole gardener story, I feel like was very concocted because in 1979, I asked my dad, you know, whatever, he's 70 something. And I asked him back in the day, would you guys go around calling somebody really handsome gardeners? And he's like, no, we wouldn't.
He
know,
wasn't.
Like, it just seemed really off that everybody's like very good looking gardener.
The maintenance man.
Really like,
you're talking about the maintenance man, right?
Yeah. Sorry. The maintenance man.
Okay.
Yes. The maintenance man. It just seemed very scripted, and every time I envisioned it, it came down from one person. So I feel like the father was like a puppet master of some sorts in all of this, if that makes sense.
Is there a chance, would you get a feeling if something happened by accident rather than design? Like maybe they got in a fight and it got out of control? Or...
Okay, so yeah. So I wanted to, I definitely wanted to say that. Like, I wanted to give my final opinion on it.
Okay.
Without, like, it being a finale. Because as long as I'm alive and spirit keeps coming through to me, if death comes through to me in a year, sometimes these things take years, you know?
Yeah.
I will contact you guys. I will contact whomever and be like, this is the dream I had, you know? That was it. Uh-huh. But what I feel happened, what my personal opinion on it is that, you know, I feel like, both sides. I feel like Deb and John kind of got carried away with like their, you know, because they both kind of had like personalities, strong personalities, and they kind of seem like they both kind of had their own, you know, minds and mindset and how they live their lives, right? And I believe that they did love each other, but I believe that there was a disconnect, okay? And I believe, you know, which there was drug use involved, and I believe that, you know, there was mental kind of, mental illness kind of creeping in, if you will, caused by outside influences like drugs and, you know, epilepsy and whatnot. And I feel like they started to get kind of, there was an erratic feeling. So I feel like perhaps there was a fight one night or somebody didn't agree with what somebody else was doing with their life. You know, I feel like there was a fight that kind of became extreme. There was an accident involved. Perhaps she had a seizure that caused her, you know, to fall or somehow, you know, this, you know, it's just a fight kind of got out of control and then something happened. And I feel like, you know, there was a call made to the father who helped, you know, clean things up, if you will, kind of orchestrate a plan and not, you know, in a story, if that makes sense.
No, it does. Except what about the boys? What happened to them?
That's exactly, I don't know. I don't know if it's because I have a soft spot. And I'm like, I don't want anything bad to have happened to them. But I also don't feel like, I feel like when we were talking, when I was hearing the statement about going to the airport, I feel like the reason that, you know, my body reacted the way it did was because it was absolutely not true, because the story had already ended for them in a sense. But I don't want to be the person to sit here and say, hey, you know, to Jocelyn's family, like, don't have hope that they're still out there. I want you guys to have hope, you know, till the day you take your last breath. Like, I want, as long as you're, you know, here, I hope that the kids come through. But as far as my psychic ability and the way I feel in my heart, is that night, you know, the night that they were supposedly driven to the airport, I feel like it was the end of the story for all three of them. That's how I feel.
Hey, Billy, I have a question.
Yeah.
So do you think it's possible that maybe she's not showing you what happened to the children because maybe she had already passed before she knew what could have happened or saw what could have happened or anything like that? I mean, do you...
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, like, I also wonder, because that's an absolute really good question and a really good point, because I was also thinking with... Because it was so weird how her spirit showed up and kind of like was like, why don't we just stop talking about this? Why don't you stop thinking about it? I wonder, did she send the kids off to live, you know, to live with somebody else? Because she knew that her time was near, like, was ending? I don't know. So I absolutely 100% agree with you that perhaps she just can't tell me because she doesn't know. Because she was, you know, she was crossing over, you know, or she, yeah, I 100% agree that that could be, you know, a possible situation.
Interesting. This is kind of like, Jocelyn, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
You know how we've talked about maybe like one night they were partying and she had a seizure and he could have even walked away from it. Like, well, this is your fault. You're having a seizure. And then went back and found her dead or something. Do you know what I mean? Like where it wasn't.
Maybe he, I don't know. I've come to a lot of conclusions over all of this, but one of the things that I thought could have been possible was that maybe he was partying, maybe they both were partying, maybe she had a seizure, maybe she fell, maybe they got, something happened to where she passed. And my thought was that he freaked out because he spent time in prison. He wouldn't want to go back to prison. That possibly he freaked out, and instead of calling the police because he didn't want to be incriminated, he called his father, and they came up with a plan. But I don't know. You know what I mean? That's just, I can't say. I don't know John. I never got to meet my aunt, but this is just
ideas
that I guess have come up in my mind of what could have possibly happened. You know, I can say that I don't see, and I've never gotten the feeling that John was this cold-hearted killer or something like that. I don't view him like that. I do believe that he loved my aunt and he loved his boys. But, you know, I guess you don't know what someone is capable of when they're under the influence of something else and they're backed in a corner, you know?
Or, like, premeditated. Exactly. Do you get any feeling that it was like a premeditated thing?
No. I'll say that, right. You know, like I said, I'm not an investigator. I'm not a cop or, you know, but I will say that there's always been the underlying narcissistic personality. All right. And that comes with anybody who's addicted to drugs. You know what I mean? It kind of like in a fake agreement that comes through. A lot of people who are addicted to drugs, you know, come through as narcissistic in a sense, because when we're on drugs, when people are, you know, humans are on drugs, you know, it's very narcissistic. We have our, you know, the illness is selfishness, right? It's about consuming something that makes us feel better. So he always kind of came off with like, he was a little bit, he didn't always tell all the truth, and perhaps deeper down, he was a little darker. But I don't feel like it was like a murder. You know, I don't feel like he was like a sadistic murderer. I do feel like something happened. Like Jocelyn just said, I feel like something happened. And instead of doing the right thing, you know, like call 911, call the police right away. I feel like he feared for his own safety and, you know, his protection, not wanting to go back to jail, not wanting to go to, you know, deal with the police. And he did kind of make this wrong call, and I feel like he reached out to the wrong people to help clean up the situation instead of doing the adult correct thing to do so that everybody could find healing and the families could all just be like, all right, she's gone. You know what I mean?
Do you think there'll ever be healing for the family? Do you think her body will ever be found? Or
So I am not a huge guy who's like, I look for signs and everything. Like, I know people are like, you know, my gas station receipt said this, so I think it's a sign from my father, you know. That's cool, but that's not me. But, and you guys know the story, but I have to, so in the letter, one of the last letters she wrote, you know, where she drew the surfboard, right? You guys have known the story, but I don't know if Haley knows this story. When I was driving home from Michigan, I was driving back to Ohio that day, and I literally had just said, why am I doing this in, you know, investigation? I've never done this. I will, you know, am I capable of even doing this? How does it work? Blah, 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 blah. I was really doubting myself. And I literally said, give me a sign if this could help in any way, or if, you know, if there's anything that could come up with. And like I told you guys, on the other side of the highway, there was, and remember, this is Michigan, up in nowhere near ocean. There was a guy on the other side of the highway who was picking something up off the ground that fell out of his pickup truck. And it was a surfboard with the side broken off and a hole in the middle, just like the picture that she had drawn in her letter. And I texted Jocelyn right away. I pulled over at the next rest stop. So I take that as a sign that, you know, spirit is kind of like, something will come of this, all right? Like I said, you have already, I'm sure, set such a vibration of, you know, that it's causing, you know, the butterfly effect everywhere. You've got, I know that I personally get a million messages now, like, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And I'm like, right on the Facebook, because I don't want to think about the story. You know what I mean?
Right.
I know that you've, like, inspired hundreds, if not thousands, of little, like, investigators out there who are like, I want to help save the world, too, and that aren't looking into this. You know what I mean? Right. And I feel like it will keep, you know, people talking and people listening around, which starts to uncover, like, more truth. You know what I mean? So I feel like it's as far as, I mean, as much as I can say, I feel like you have started something that won't end until maybe there is a resolution. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No, it does, because Jocelyn and I have believed from the beginning that we were brought together for a reason, right, Jocelyn?
Yeah, definitely. I think that
there you go. Absolutely.
Something was pulling us together for this all to line up the way that it did, and for us to click the way that we do when we talk about things and bounce thoughts or new information we come up with, the way that we can communicate with each other. And it's, you know, we're just opposite enough to where either one of us can bring light to the darkness that somebody else is thinking. So
yeah.
I mean, I agree that you guys, from the first night I talked to both of you, I was like, wait, what is the hell is going on here? Like, you were definitely brought together for a reason. I'll tell you that as a psychic. And I will tell you, as a human being, like, you both get really frustrated. I can hear it in your voices, you know? But you are doing so much more than anybody's done in 40 years on this, you know? So, like, you guys, I mean, you two are just, I don't know. I just think you're really great, and you are going to, I don't know, there's going to be a change that comes out of this. So, like, I know you're frustrated with how frustrating this case is, because honestly, like, a couple of the other missing person cases that I've helped out with, it was so much easier, you know? This one is like a whodunit kind of, it's kind of crazy with all these turns, twists and turns. But I feel like you have started something, and I feel like it will bring more resolution, and there will be more revelations as the days go on and years go on.
Thank you so much, Billy, for doing this with us.
Yeah, thank you, Billy. We really appreciate it very much.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for, I'm honored to have been part of it. Like I said, if I ever get anything in the future, I will definitely contact you, okay?
That'd be amazing. All right. And then
sounds perfect. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Have a good day.